others were, became successful. And now they're the old guard, you see, where they were originally the Young Turks who were complaining all the time. They didn't like this, they didn't like that. Now the old guard, they've got these new guys in there, they're doing all the complaining. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there thinking they're a bunch of bums.
What caused the change from going from an instructor, or I should say a professor, to an administrator? Because when you didn't know what happened when you become a chairman.
Well, that's an interesting story. One day, by then I think I was an associate professor. I'd been here several years, you know, 10, 12 years or so, probably even more because I was here 30 years total. Well, I was teaching a class in the first art building, which is the one by the road, mm-hmm. and they've added on to it. And I came down in my office down there, right where the entrance is, and I could hear people talking inside. Well, once I'd had some kids climb through the window, and they were rehearsing a speech of the daughter of Sue Ernest. You don't know Sue. Her daughter was in there, and I caught her, and I said, what are you doing in here? She says, your mother won't like it. She says, well, I have to practice because I'm going to give a speech, and they're going to judge me and all that mm-hmm. and stuff. I said, get out. Well, anyway, I heard these voices. I thought, who's in here? So I took the key and opened up the door, and I looked in, and there's Everett Jackson and President Heppner there. And I thought, my God, I'm fired. But I thought, no, I'm not fired. I've got tenure. So they looked at me, and they grinned, and they said, George, we borrowed your office because we didn't want to be in Everett's office because too many people come in, and then we're talking about something. In fact, it might concern you, so just give us another 15 minutes. And, of course, I said, yes. Closed the door and wandered around. Well, after a while, they came out, and Everett said, President Heppner wants to talk to you. And he says, he asked me to be the division chairman. I told him, no, I wanted to stay on as the department chairman. Patty Patterson had been the division chairman, right, yeah. And she died. She was a Christian Scientist. Uh-huh. They think she had pneumonia, but she passed away. So they were looking for a new one, and Heppner waited about 8 months before he reappointed anybody. So he says, he wanted me to do it, but he says, with Eileen and all her social things there, I have to get out and be with her, and I'm happy here, and I don't want the job. And he says, I've recommended you. He says, George, he says, I told President Heppner you were a great guy to do it, and beside that, you always had a clean, neat desk.
Goes back to the clean gun award.
So I walked in, and he explained that he didn't want anybody in music for the job there, but he'd heard I'd been a percussionist and I knew music. Mm-hmm. He knew that I was successful in art and had done some good things around there and on the committee, done this and that, you know, with so forth and so on. And he thought maybe I could handle it. And he says, now, if you do handle it, you won't get the big head, will you? And I said, well, Dr. Heppner, if I do, you better fire me. So then they announced it at the faculty meeting. You know, all the faculty met together in those days, and mm-hmm. the reaction was pretty good. You know James Crouch?
Yes, Dr. Crouch.
He became a division chairman. Yeah. John Adams reacted to it good. And everybody else did, so I became a division chairman, and Don Watson was my boss, and Don Watson sort of started with the division chairman, and then when he retired, well, just about then we became a university, and the division chairman were no more, and they began to hire people who had been trained, you know, to be deans rather than professors who were picked up, taken away from their classes. Mm-hmm. Like Malcolm Love says, he says, you are in essence deans, but being that we are not a university, we can't call you a dean. It's against the law, but we can relieve you of your classes and pay your professorial salary and do it. Well, that's what happened to me there and yeah. some of the rest of them. So I was, in essence, a dean, and we used to kid ourselves, you know, we would say, good morning, Dean Essence, how are you today?
Essence, Dean Essence.
So anyway, then I stayed on until it was all over with the deans, and then finally I started helping the Alumni Association.
Yeah, I was talking to Graham Nielsen, and he said you were very instrumental in the Alumni House. How'd you do that?
Well, when we went out of business as deans, then they started bringing in other people who had even more training than we had there. Mm-hmm. And so most of the division chairmen went back in the classroom. Well, after you've been a professor, full professor, had your choice of classes, and then you became a division chairman, and see, by then I'd put in well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Why, the thought of going back and teaching Art 1 or so-and-so-and-so, you know, and didn't appeal to me. So I was able to talk them into working with Vice President of the Burn as his administrative assistant. And for a while there with Don Walker, well, he was acting Vice President. I worked out of his office. And they gave me little jobs hither and yon, but the main one was to coordinate alumni affairs and start building it up.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, up through Love, they said, we don't need an alumni association to raise money for us. We don't need the money for the simple reason that the state of California gives us enough funds to operate with everything we need. And then slowly beyond that, then, it came to where you needed the Alumni Association, plus the giving units that they have here that are tied in with it, and state planning and all these other things there. And so they begin to feel maybe they ought to build this thing up. So they asked me to come in there and start to build it up. And at that particular time, Bill Erickson was in charge of the foundation. He was instrumental in getting me in this thing with Love support. But I had to do that on the QT because technically there was no spot for an alumni administrator in the California system.
Hmm.
But gradually they began to know that that was there and there were people helping out. They didn't say full time or anything like mm-hmm. that. And when Glenn Dumpke was the chancellor,
mm-hmm.
he recognized that fact. And once a year, he would have a meeting up there at his office, invite us out to his home for cocktails and Bel Air, and treated us royally, knowing full well we were doing this on the QT,
mm-hmm.
but pretending that he didn't know. But in the years that I did that, I had to have a very low profile and pretend I wasn't even there. So when we put out the El Campanario magazines and all of that, I pretended like I was just one of the editors. I was really the senior editor in chief and ran the whole thing and everything else around there. And I worked with some good presidents. I worked under five different presidents during my regime, and they were dedicated people.
Yeah.
And their other officers, vice presidents, and board members were good guys, and we got in with no budget whatsoever. We just had to use primarily the membership. We had a little bank account over in the bank there. We, in those days, didn't turn it over to the foundation. We tried to stay away from them because anything you did there had to have their okay.
Yeah.
Like whenever Jackson retired, we had him paint a picture of Love for the library for free. And so we honored him at one of our meetings. And we said, we're going to give you a present. What do you like? He says, well, I'm drinking bourbon nowadays. So we gave him a case of bourbon. Well, you know, the foundation was mad at us for doing this, but Love okayed it. He was at the thing because he was a great friend of Everett. So he came to the thing, and it worked out fine.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that was going on to where we did low-key things on low budgets. But at least I think we got it started toward what it is today.
Yeah.
And then from the time I retired, why, they've had, I think, up to Rick Talmo,
mm-hmm.
they've had five different alumni directors. Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on in there to where they weren't doing the job right, or they were running out of money, or there were so many changes they couldn't keep track of it.
Yeah.
It shows all the things that were going on to what the operation is today with Trish over there and all the other people. And here Rick's gone now.
Yeah.
Barbara's in there as a new director.
Yeah, my wife works for the alumni.
Hmm?
See, my wife works for the alumni.
She's did
in
she?
Development and development research up there with Barbara Yeager. Is it Barbara?
Oh, but Barbara, yeah, Barbara. She was assistant alumni director.
Yeah, I think that's, or is it, who, I don't remember. She's on the second floor across the street, up across, you know, the old administration.
Well, I know there's a Barbara that was assistant.
Right.
Now she's alumni director.
She's tall.
Yeah, tall, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a graduate of state. She's sort of a cowgirl, you know, type, you know.
Tomboy type.
Tomboy type, I worked with her last year where we had farewell to the lab school over there. We had
a lot of
people in there. I was in charge of that committee. And now we're going back and having a meeting in July at my house to where we're going to figure out the plaque that we raised the money for to put somewhere in that new building saying this used to be the site of the last campus lab school on campus.
Yeah, they need to do one for the building that is tore down here where they used to be. Remember the old sandwich shop and the graduate, what was it?
You mean that old building?
The old building you saw, I don't know if you saw it when you came in here.
Yeah.
They just tore it all down.
Well, I know all about that because that was built the first year I went to state.
Yeah.
And they had a real estate office in there, and the company that did it was the same company that did Bel Air in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And this was going to be called Mission Palisades, and this was going to be a small version of it. They had a golf course figured out down there past Cressida Drive, and that little plaza in there where they have the Texaco station was going to be a little plaza, you know, the thought of, you know, missions and all that.
Yeah.
And that building they put up, and they had their office there. And also in there was a soda fountain restaurant, and upstairs was a boys' dormitory.
Yeah, it should be the side of the former boys' dormitory, SDSU.
When they had the restaurant in there, I got once a week they had dancing from like 11 to 1. They'd invite people in to dance. And I got a little 5-piece orchestra together, and we played, and we got a meal and a chocolate malted milkshake out of it.
All right. That's great. The, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Why do you think, because I myself am having a problem with this, San Diego State, and doing the research I've been doing for this project, San Diego State, I've come to realize it's one of the top institutions. And yet you're saying all of a sudden alumni doesn't get started till what? So late because the state gave us money. Yet Ohio State, like you had mentioned, it was a state school, a state university, yet it has had alumni for years.
Well, so has the University of California had alumni for years.
And yeah.
They've had alumni houses for years. They still do, even though they're not popular anymore. See, that one I created over there on the street there, it lasted while I was there, and then they moved it to another house over here, and then it just fell apart. We got them to buy sofas and furniture. We had Everett D. Jackson paintings from the Fine Arts Gallery, and we took the offices that were the bedrooms, you know, and made them into offices. And the living room and dining room, we had a place for meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And in the kitchen, we had famous alumni with famous recipes and put them on the wall. And we had a big thing up there with pots and pans hanging on it.
Because I see that this university is lacking a tradition. We do have, and doing the research I've been doing, there is a tradition here. But it seems to be underground.
Well, I think you have to take the fact that we started out as a normal school, and then we became Teacher College Oriented, you know, with San Diego
State Teacher College, right.
You know, So, and then here's the university giving out the PhDs and the MAs. We were nothing to them, and we had to fight to get not only various types of bachelor's degrees, but the master's degrees. And in a couple of instances, we have a tie-in with them to where we do a chemistry thing,
doctorate, you
know, joint one, only they give out the degree. And that's as far as we've gone so far, but that's progress when you think we were an old normal school.
Yeah, I realize that. And it's just
a long, hard road, especially with they're so entrenched.
I mean, currently, there are professors on this campus that UCSD wants. I mean, in terms of education and talking to people, and this is probably going to be biased on my part, this school is the better school.